Welcome to our special holiday episode of the Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Deborah, and I am podcasting to you from Bogota, Colombia.
You're finally home.
I am back home indeed.
This is Melanie, and I'm podcasting to you from the couch in Edmonton, Alberta.
We have a full show for you today. I haven't talked about mind knitting in ages, and so I'm going to do some of that. We have Savvy Dad making an appearance. We also do a review of a knitting magazine, and I think we have some special guest stars coming in to do a holiday performance.
Squeak, squeak!
And so much more, I'm sure.
Okay, so
ignore your family, sneak into the back room, or a room where you have a comfortable chair. Pick up your knitting sticks from wherever you hid them when you knew you needed a break. Start knitting.
Scoop up a big mouthful of figgy pudding.
And enjoy this episode.
Enjoy the show. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. It's been a little while since we've given updates. Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone what you've been up to? First, I will confess to everyone that there's two of us.
That would be you, your alter ego, and I, right?
Or me, the gerbil voices, and you.
Right.
Yeah, we planned this, so we're going to be all responsible and concise and stuff, and I guess I've already failed utterly at that. Yeah. Okay, so the first thing, I'm going to start not in the order we planned. I'm starting with my nerd moment. I have a nerd moment, people.
I would love to hear about it. I don't think I've heard this story yet.
Okay, so as you may or may not know, I am a bridesmaid in a wedding this summer. Woo-hoo. And woo, I really, really like the bride. We're getting to be pretty close friends. But to be honest, although we've known each other since we were about 6 and our birthday is on the same day, she's older. We've never been that super close friends. However, she asked me to be a bridesmaid and she's paying for the dress, so hooray! And she's really nice. I'm really excited to be in her wedding also. I thought it would be good to get to know her groom. I've met him a few times, and a few times ago struck up conversation with him, and it turns out he loves Doctor Who. So I thought, oh, a fellow nerd.
I don't think you're alone.
Well, I'm not now. Now that I have Brad, I'm not alone. So anyway, Brad and I had a Doctor Who date last night, and we invited my friend Jen, whose wedding it is, along on the date. It was actually at her house, so that's okay. She was there. And the two of us were watching Doctor Who, and we watched the finale. It's only a few days until the Christmas special. I'm sure some of you know. Nerd alert. We were nerding out together. It turns out in Wedding of River Song, the finale to episode 6, there's a knitting magazine. At one point, the doctor is reading a knitting magazine.
No, really?
Yes, I think it's called Knitting for Girls. It's an old knitting pattern book.
Very interesting. Is it a real one? Should we track it down?
I think we should try to track it down. In fact, I would bet if we Googled Doctor Who and knitting magazine, I bet it would come up.
I bet someone else has done the tracking.
I bet. And we'll check on that. We will.
All right. Savvy Bro, will you please look into it and no, it's okay.
Put it in the show notes. Nerd alert! Okay.
Savvy Rose good at things like that.
Oh, and I chose my bridesmaid's dress. This is something that we didn't talk about.
Okay.
The bride, she's not even Bridezilla at all. She said we could pick any dress from the Alfred Angelo collection. So I looked and I tried dresses on 3 different times and I finally picked the dress. It's beautiful. It's long and it is something I believe I can wear again. And it's in gray with little sparklies on it. There will be pictures. I'm pretty excited. They'll have to cut about 2 feet off of it.
From the bottom?
In the end, before I can wear it. They'll have to cut 2 feet off of it.
See, the difference between you and your average bridesmaid, Mel, is that you actually have a use for ball gowns. Or for fancy, shiny dresses. As in, when you sing, right? So you can buy a fancy dress and re-wear it, and as long as it doesn't look like a cheesy bridesmaid's dress, you know, you have a use for it, right?
Oh, definitely. Well, no, I was sort of figured that everyone would have a use for a ball gown in some form, but I guess you're right.
I don't know. I don't have much use.
I completely forget the second thing on the list.
I have sock progress.
Oh, right. The knitting thing.
Knitting content.
I've lost them in the house. They're somewhere in this house and they're lost.
What are you knitting?
I'm knitting circle socks, as I'm sure you all know. And I started them on our trip to Ecuador, and I'm done one of them. I just started the second. However, it is missing in the house. It's in a green bag if anybody sees it.
Okay, I'll let you know.
So that's all. That's all I got about that.
Okay.
And the third thing, I've got news.
I can't wait for you to tell everyone your good news. Oh, you now, didn't say it was good news. I assume
it is good news. It is. Shush. Now, usually when someone of our age and demographic has news, they mean one of two things, which are...
they're engaged or pregnant.
Engaged or pregnant. However, nobody loves me, and I definitely am not pregnant. So that's not my news. You got to be different. My news is I was given a government grant from the Alberta government to record a knitting CD.
So exciting.
I know. Even though it's knitting. I had recorded, I'm sure some of you remember, I had recorded some tracks for a CD probably about a year and a half ago. And I put them up on iTunes. And I didn't love the recording quality. I didn't love the way the levels were set. I didn't love the way the pianist did his thing. I thought it could be better. So I took them down and I wanted to do it right. Anyone who bought the old CD, I am happy to send people the new songs once they're done. We're doing this properly in the studio. Bells, whistles, instruments. Thank you, taxpayers. I appreciate it.
Are you going to reveal what's going to be the content or generally what the content is? Because what is a knitting CD? For those who don't know.
It's a CD of historic knitting music. Now, I've amassed rather a fair amount of knitting music, so I haven't decided if I'm going to do knitting music from the 19th century, knitting music from the earlier or mid-20th century. I'm looking at all the songs now. I've printed them all out. They're lying on the family room floor, each one separate, and they're in a pretty little design. I'll take a picture. Show notes. I'm trying to decide which songs to do, and I still don't know yet. I'm still working on that. However, it's going to be really exciting, and hopefully it'll be a big hit, and I can record a second one of the other songs, or maybe three.
Oh, I'm so excited, sis. And who doesn't want to listen to knitting music, really? I can't imagine a person who wouldn't want to.
I can't imagine either. They're fantastic songs. Some of them are poignant. Some of them are funny. A lot of them are funny. And the rhymes, some of them will make you grit your teeth and cry. They're so bad.
But in a good way, of course.
But in a good 1920s ragtime, 1915 ragtime sort of way. Brilliant. They're little gems. And I've managed to get my hands on several of them. So that is my news. And now it's your turn.
All right. Well, I have a couple of things that I'm going to talk about a little later on in the show, so I'm not going to talk about them right now. One of them is what I'm knitting or what I have been knitting, and another one is, well, I have a couple of reviews of things that you'll hear later. So this is going to be a little bit short. What's been going on since we last recorded? Basically, I had to go home. There was a last-minute family issue, and I decided it was important for our whole family to be together. So the Savvy family, we were together. I was home for about 10 days. I left work at the very last minute, so I didn't have a chance to really do anything in preparation for my trip other than pack my knitting needles, pack a pile of yarn, put in some clothes, and get on an airplane. I bought my ticket the day before I left. So I was in Edmonton for 10 days. Some of the highlights of the trip, I think...
yarn shopping?
We visited the yarn store. River City Yarns in Edmonton. One of the big pleasures for me to go back to North America is the availability of things that I've been lusting after. Basically, I read a lot of blogs and a lot of sewing blogs and crafting blogs and knitting blogs, and they often call for products or for supplies that I just can't get when I'm overseas. So it was so exciting when I'm just able to go to the fabric store and pick up the fabric that I wanted and then go to Michael's. Oh, Michael's is a mecca of craft supplies. If you don't have a Michael's or the American equivalent, the Joann's or whatever it is, you don't know what you're missing. I walk in there and it's like the angels are singing. It's very exciting for me.
Are the angels. Tired of angels.
And then they have 50% off coupons or 40% off coupons. So the whole thing is really just a crafting mecca. That was one of my highlights, just walking in Michael's and walking through the fabric store and going to a yarn store, wandering around and seeing all the pretty things and imagining everything I could make with them, buying only a small amount. Well, no, I bought a lot of fabric, but buying not too much of anything else. That was a pleasure. I also really enjoyed going clothes shopping. This maybe sounds mundane to your average person,
It's a little bit chilly here in Bogota. It's sweater weather year-round. I was getting a little low on sweaters, and as much as I love to knit sweaters, I don't knit them as quickly as perhaps I would want. Melanie, we had a good time going sweater and clothes shopping, didn't we?
We did. Even though they were acrylic, they're still great.
Yeah, but they're really comfy, and if I'm paying for them rather than knitting them myself, I don't mind the acrylic, because it actually feels very good, but I just don't want to spend all my time knitting it.
Oh, I agree. I wore one of them today, though. I just want you to know.
I wore one today and one the day before yesterday, so I'm working through the sweaters. And I also bought some flannel. Well, actually, Melanie bought me some flannel pajamas. Oh, and since we didn't tell him about the wrapping station.
Oh, dear. I guess since it's a holiday show, we have to. Okay, quickly. The wrapping station is even more awesome than Michael's. That is all.
Well, really, maybe just equally as awesome, except that the wrapping station is free. Basically, Melanie and I put together our family's Hanukkah gifts in advance of Hanukkah, since I was leaving town and we wanted to do prezzies before I left town. So we collected a big pile of prezzies for Savvy Mom and Savvy Dad and Savvy Bro, and then we went to the mall, to the wrapping station.
The St. Albert Mall in St. Albert.
The St. Albert Mall, yes. So it was a big table, and on the table were four large rolls on, I don't know what you would call them, the roll holders?
Roll holders.
Of wrapping paper, and then they had a big box of shiny bows, and a little box of very pretty gift tags, and they had tape, and they had scissors, and they had pens, and it was free. So,
and they had tags. Don't forget the tags.
Well, I mentioned tags, but these were really nice tags. These weren't your average gift tags. These were the kinds of things that you would, for example, buy to, well, you wouldn't buy to put the tag in the scrapbook, but you know those really fancy things that you 3D. Buy to put in fancy, pretty cutouts that you would, the 3D cutouts that you would put in a scrapbook? That's what the tags had on them. So
we basically wrapped everything and anything and everything, pretty much.
Exactly. We went clothes shopping together, and then the next day I took the clothes that I had bought in Melanie's presence, and I wrapped them. So she would have wrapped clothes, but she had already tried them on. We spent 3 hours there one day wrapping all of our presents, and it felt so good. We filled a shopping cart full of beautiful presents, all wrapped up.
And we had boxes. Don't forget, when we were at Reitman's buying sweaters, the person working there just was tired of having boxes and gave them all to us, like cute little boxes.
Yeah, the clothing gift boxes, and so we had plenty of those to wrap things in, and it was fun. I guess lots of people wrap things properly for the holidays. Our family tradition is that we don't spend a lot of money or effort on wrapping gifts, and so it's not unusual to get a gift in a plastic bag. Or
wrapped in newspaper.
Wrapped in newspaper, but without any kind of tape. So it's literally just wrapped with newspaper and maybe stuck in a plastic bag.
Well, the thing is,
maybe just stuck in a pillowcase and handed over.
Well, when you're not celebrating Christmas and you don't have things under a tree, it doesn't have to look nice for that long. That's the thing.
True, because it's not on display for very long.
The wrapping station is amazing. I actually think I might go back and rewrap some things for me.
Some of the things you've already unwrapped?
Yes.
You're so cute.
That's what I was thinking. Or maybe food. I might wrap up a carrot, so for when I'm hungry later.
That would be hilarious. Everyone in the mall would see you wrapping up one carrot at a time.
So or the fun. Clothes you left behind I need to mail to you. I might wrap those first.
Did I leave clothes behind?
You left a sweater. We can get into this later. A sweater, new t-shirt, clothes? Underwear. What?
New clothes?
No, not new clothes.
Okay. All right. So the couple other things that I wanted to update on, I have 4 days off of work I have 4.5 days off of work starting tomorrow. And this show is going to come out a couple days after we record this. So today is Thursday evening, and tomorrow I have a half day at work, and then I have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off, and then 3 days of work, and then another 3-day weekend. What this means is a lot of knitting time. I have a lot of things I want to knit. If you remember, maybe a month ago, I bought 4 Hannah Fettig patterns that Hannah Fettig runs the
knit shawls.
Bot. Sorry?
They're shawls. I listen.
No, that's Romy Hill.
Oh, Hannah I don't Fettig listen.
Is the, we met her actually in Rhinebeck the year before last.
Okay.
She's lovely. Family is lovely. And
I remember meeting her. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. So I bought, she was running a 2-for-1 sale, and I ended up buying 2 and therefore have 4 of her sweater patterns. And then I have another one that I had previously. So I have 5 of her sweater patterns. I have been thinking, going through my stash, and the short of it is that I decided that I'm going to cast on for maybe at least 2 of her sweaters. And then I have another sweater,
why is there so much knitting talk?
Ah, yes. The Goodale sweater, and one of our listeners kindly sent this to me as a gift. I think it was last year. Anyways, this is a Cecily Glowick McDonald pattern, and so I'd like to get started on that one as well. Tonight, I have been swatching, and I'm not a very good knitter in that I don't normally like to do swatches, and when I do swatches, I tend to cast on, let's say it says that you need to do the 22 stitches and 24 rows equals 4 inches. I tend to cast on, let's say, 28 stitches or 30 stitches because you're never quite sure if 22 will be the exact 4 inches. Also, if you're knitting in stockinette, it tends to roll in at the sides a little bit, and I would prefer to have enough center stitches to be able to measure my 4 inches. So I cast on more than the necessary stitches, but then I don't knit the full 4 inches in terms of the length. So I'll knit maybe an inch, and then I say, oh, it's good enough, and I measure it. But tonight, I have been swatching. I am knitting my 4th swatch of the evening. There, all the swatches are between 5 and 6 inches wide and between 5 and 6 inches long. And then, as soon as I cast off from the swatches, I have been washing them, and I'm letting them dry. So tomorrow, when it comes time to actually cast on, tomorrow and the next day, I will not be guessing what size to knit and what size needles to use, but instead I will be doing it based on my swatches. So I am being a good holiday knitter.
You are. Can I say one thing without you getting mad?
I can't promise.
I'll never get those 4 minutes back.
I love you, Sissy, just not enough to stop talking about my knitting.
I love you too, but
I love you too.
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in hours, at least an hour. I need to go.
Oh, the violins are playing.
Really? They should play knitting songs because I could use some violins for my CD.
I gave a bite to Johnny's head. Somebody snitched on me. I chewed the leg on Deborah's bed. Somebody snitched on me. I ate a hole in Mommy's skirt. Made a poop on Tommy's shirt. Bit until my poor teeth hurt. Somebody snitched on me.
I am here with Savvy Mom, and it's such a treat to be with her. And it turns out that she walked in, and she was carrying the September 2011 issue of Creative Knitting. And so we started going through it. I'm going to have you hold this, and let's talk about what we see in here.
All right.
So the covers, it's a cardigan.
A double-breasted cardigan.
Somewhat military style.
It is.
With wide ribbing. Yeah, on the front?
It has interesting textures and large buttons.
A lot of cables.
A lot of cables. Your favorite. I like the technical aspect of it, but I would never wear it.
No. I think it's a little bit too bulky. Buttons and shawl pins?
I really like most of these.
I really like this one. This is the cinnamon slice shawl pin made from...
India.
This is the cinnamon slice... This is the cinnamon slice shawl pin made from...
It's India or Pakistan.
If any of you can hear this, Savvy Dad is doing logic puzzles in the background, and every time I try to talk, he interrupts with the possible answer to the logic problem. Anyways, yep. I'm saying I like the cinnamon slice shawl pin made from seed stem and bark by Jewel Designs.
I really like that.
This one, It looked like glass to me, but I guess it's not.
No, this is natural material.
But I really like the... It's kind of orange swirls on dark brown or on black.
It looks cinnamony.
It's beautiful. All right.
Okay. On to...
Okay, basically brioche. The description is, this go with anything basic made using the brioche stitch will add dimension to any wardrobe. This will add dimension that I don't want in my wardrobe. I think it's really ugly.
It's boxy. It is shaped at the waist a little, so that could be flattering. But I don't care for the... I don't like it.
I don't know if there's actually shaping in the pattern, though. I bet they've clipped it at the back in this picture to make it look like it has a waist.
Right.
Because this is a box with a zip up the front and a small fold-over collar. And the fold-over collar reminds me more of something we would have seen in fashion 10 years ago.
It's just a sweater.
It's ugly.
I wouldn't put work into it. A graphic coatigan. It's a cardigan coat.
With slip stitch patterning, this bulky weight piece will keep you looking as fashionable as ever on those extra nippy days. First of all, it's a...
It's two colors.
Thigh-length, bulky weight coat with...
No collar, so if there's no collar, it's not going to keep your neck warm.
And no shaping.
No, again. There's no shaping. No. So far, we're not really hot on the different fashions in here.
No, not at all. All right. Cable ready. This is a...
I really want to like something here.
This one's just a heavily cabled worsted weight.
It just is not... I mean, again, the texture is interesting.
If you're knitting it for the purpose of challenging yourself.
You've got cables, and got are they cables. Mini cables? And
that's not even that.
But it's not an attractive
shape.
No.
Easy cabled cowl.
I like the cowl.
I don't love it.
Well, that's either. Because you don't like doing cables.
I don't like knitting cables. I like the look
but
of cables.
But I think that one looks really nice.
Side-to-side style. This is define yourself with style by wearing this side-to-side vest with horizontal plates and diamonds.
I could see wanting to make this just to learn the technique of knitting side-to-side, but I don't like it.
I don't know if you sew up the side, but basically the sleeves aren't shaped.
No.
They're just flaps from going side to side too far that kind of flop over as shoulders.
Right.
And then I really dislike the way it closes, which is basically just a tie just below the collarbone. So it's a swing style, but it's not cute swing style.
No, there's nothing cute about it.
All right.
This
is different. Comforts of home. First up, we have pumpkin spice pillows. These are... Give your living room a quick autumn pick-me-up with this easy and portable project. So we have leaves formed with lace and knit purls, slips, knits, that kind of thing, on a background of, is it reverse stockinette or garter stitch?
It's hard to tell.
They're okay. I love the color that they pick.
I don't mind those.
Would you make them and put them in your house?
No, I wouldn't put them in my house. But on the opposite page...
This is so far in the magazine, this is the thing I like the most. Although I wouldn't knit it myself. Why don't you describe it?
It's a horseshoe throw. And basically it's a beautiful Afghan knit in a rich brown. And there are cables all the way up. And they sort of separate into horseshoe... I have trouble with that word.
Horseshoe?
Into horseshoe cable patterns. So one cable sort of fits in the other cable, like a series of Y shapes made with cables over the whole thing. And it really does look cozy.
And it's knit in bulky weight yarn.
Yep.
And I imagine there's probably 20 cables across.
Oh, so many. 30 cast on cables? 142 stitches.
Yeah, lots and lots of cables across. If you enjoy knitting cables, this is your blanket.
This is your blanket.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And it looks wonderfully textured. And because the texture is a repeated pattern, although it's textured, it's not too busy. It's like the right kind of busy.
No, it's nice.
What else do we have?
We like that.
Oh, God, this.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay.
The White Mountain Kimono Coat. It's a deceptively simple slip stitch coat with striking contrast color accents will garner many admiring comments as you pass by.
Yeah, everybody's going to say, my God, that's ugly. Oh, I said that out loud?
It's made from chunky weight yarn. Here's the thing about this. It makes the model look twice the size that she actually
is. Exactly.
And to boot, it's not nice.
Now, the next one is Spring into Fall. I'll knit your way through the seasons as you make this colorful and richly patterned eco-friendly coat. So you have flowers and leaves and blossoms and are those cupcakes? No, they're acorns.
Yeah.
And
here's the thing. It's brightly colored. I imagine that it's probably stranded knitting. I actually think it would make a cute pillow.
I agree.
But I don't necessarily want to wear a pillow.
I wouldn't wear it.
No.
But it's interesting. I just wouldn't wear it.
No.
not at all. But I think it would maybe make a cute home accessory. Blue haze.
Blue haze. They have different things made out of different color
blue. Ooh. This one is special. This oversized Mobius allows for a variety of wearing options and is constructed from rich velvet ribbon accentuated by lush hand-dyed nylon fur.
Fake. Fur is in double quotation.
As in fun fur. I think I don't need to say much more. Should we just move on?
I think we need to move on. What do you think of this Elizabethan...
Right here.
Yeah, this one here.
This is the I-cord panache scarflet.
That could be warm.
It could be warm. It's like if you were to cast on 180 stitches, knit for a short while, and then reduce to 100 stitches, knit for a while, and then increase to 180 again.
Or perhaps it's just a large rectangle with drawstring, I-cord drawstrings.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay. The unique double-knit drawstrings give this scarflet an interesting shape reminiscent of Elizabethan ruffs, only much warmer and very fashion-forward. All right, so it could be cute because the bottom ruff could be hidden under a jacket, and then you would have the top ruff folding over the edge of your jacket a little bit like a collar.
I think that this one, I think this one has promise.
However, I do not like the way it looks without a jacket there, or on top of a jacket, and I don't think it's fashion forward.
No.
Okay, this is the cutest pattern in the whole book, I think.
Absolutely.
Cute confections. We have Bear Tracks, which is worsted weight jacket for a child.
Oh, a child and a toddler.
Describe it. Child.
So we have 6, 12, 18, and 24 month sizes. It's the cutest little hoodie.
It's a cardigan.
Oh, it's a cardigan hoodie made with, what is it, beige? A worsted?
Yeah, worsted weight.
Worsted, and it's sort of a light brown or beige color with seed stitch accenting around the bottom and the sleeve and the
button band.
The button band. And it has little bear ears up on top, orange border around the face, and pockets. And on the outside of the pockets are paw prints. It is so cute, and the model is adorable.
It is very, very cute.
Oh,
I think
look
that
how
is
sweet.
Infinitely knittable.
Yeah, that this to me, the whole magazine, this
would
makes,
be worth this pattern.
Yeah,
I agree.
For this pattern, it is really adorable.
And the last pattern in the book, Arthur the Alien.
Oh, we have here knit stuffed toys, three-eyed aliens with striped bodies, and
they look like they're wearing striped sweaters.
They do. These could be fun.
They're
and you
cute.
You could just make them with two eyes instead of three if you don't really want to.
Make them aliens.
Make them two alien.
Actually, if you just did them with two eyes, they'd be kind of like a frog with dog ears.
And boots. They've got little boots
on. Little shoes on. That's very cute.
They're
I like
cute.
That pattern.
How you confuse your child. It's a frog with dog.
And I think that covers it.
I have a couple of positive things to say about the book.
Okay. First, it came for free.
Yeah, it did
That's
come
good.
For free. Number one. Number two, the sizes in the patterns start at, I believe, small and go all the way up to 2X.
Some of them even 3X.
Yeah, there's one for 3X.
So that's excellent, if only they were items you wanted to make.
Well, but we don't represent everybody's taste.
Right.
You know?
Good
and
point.
Just because something doesn't appeal to us. And, you know, someone could take a pattern and choose a completely different color and adapt to things, and it would be really helpful to have them in the choice of sizes.
And it's also that if a different shaped person might give different shape to the garment.
Exactly.
So something that looks shapeless on one of these models could look amazing on somebody who maybe has some more curves.
Yep, that's number one. Number two, in the back of the book, there are instructions how to knit, how to do the three needle bind off, working short rows, magic loop method, provisional cast on,
I cord
with good pictures, backward loop cast on. They've even got some crochet stitches, Kitchener stitch. I think this being included in the magazine is very helpful because they'll refer to the method in the instructions, and then you've got the instructions right there. Those are my ideas.
So overall, unless I had a child for whom I would like to knit an adorable bear cardigan.
Really adorable.
Really
cardigan.
Adorable. Yeah. Or perhaps an alien doll. I don't think I'd buy this magazine.
I wouldn't buy this magazine. But I would be interested in looking at another issue to see if there are things that would be interesting.
All right. So I think that's our analysis.
There you go. Creative Knitting Magazine.
September 2011.
Like how to dance or knit a row. It's hard to think, but don't be sad. You can just ask Savvy Dad. Savvy Dad, he knows it all. Problems big and problems small. Knit, crochet, or romance too. Savvy Dad is here for you. Or know if you are bad. So just ask Savvy Dad.
Dear Savvy Dad, my in-laws draw names for Christmas. They do not like giving gift cards, but I love receiving them, especially if they are from my local yarn shop. When I have, at their request, provided a small list of things I would like, both knitting-related and non-knitting-related, they don't pay any attention to the list. The dollar amount we spend on each other is not huge, about $40 US, but everything I have received ends up at the local thrift shop, eventually because it's not something we would ever use. If I suggest we not give gifts at all, I'm the Scrooge who takes the fun out of Christmas. I suggested this 1 year without success. I've also suggested giving the equivalent sum to charity in the recipient's name instead of gifts, but it turned into in addition to, not instead of. Is there a solution to this dilemma other than being resigned to being a supporter of our local thrift shop?
You have pursued various innovative possibilities in giving gifts. A good idea is to ask your gift givers to provide communal gifts. That is, you provide a gift for your in-laws provide a single gift for your family, a group might be designated the persons to provide gift for the grandchildren, and in that way, the gifts are less expensive, less important, and it allows you the opportunity to communally express your joy of the season. Keep your dollar amount at a given rate, and good luck with your gift giving, and have a happy Christmas.
Dear Savvy Dad, I am trying to lose weight and having marginal success at this point. I would like to knit some sweaters for myself. Should I wait until I lose the weight I'd like to lose, or should I just start because I'm a really slow knitter and hope for the best?
Start now. But be reasonable. Go from an extra large to a large, and then from a large to a medium, etc. Small successes count for much and are encouraging. And when you go from an extra large to a medium, there is the extra special bonus in that you will then have the opportunity to do some further knitting to adjust the size.
Ooh, lucky knitters.
Further. Don't be concerned about knitting slowly. The joy may be found for some people in the final product, but for most, the satisfaction of knitting is the creative process itself.
Ooh.
I think that's quotable. The joy of knitting is in the creative process itself.
Do you believe that, Savvy Dad?
I wouldn't say it if I didn't.
Very good.
Dear Savvy Dad, do you believe the saying, lucky in cards, unlucky in love, is true? Well, as an aside, Savvy Dad and I just played cards and...
He was pretty lucky.
He was pretty lucky, so watch out for Savvy Mom. Anyway, do you believe the saying, lucky in cards, unlucky in love, is true? Because I can't get past a 30% win rate in Spider Solitaire, but I am happily married. If turning my luck around in cards will jeopardize my marriage, maybe I should just be content with 30%.
Luck is just that. A turn of fortune in your favor. Please don't base your marriage on Spider Solitaire.
Wait, can you say that again?
Please don't base the future of your marriage on Spider Solitaire. Make choices in life on the basis of well-thought-out, reasonable alternatives. Some spider solitaire hypothetical assessment of luck, not for the real choices in life that matters.
Very good point. Dear Savvy Dad, I want to knit a present for my boyfriend, but he is very picky. Do you have any advice about what I could knit for him?
Everyone has preferences and favorites, but overly picky people are a bit self-serving and overly fussing. I don't know your boyfriend, but being overly picky is not an admirable trait. It would be better if he is overly appreciative of your kindness and thoughtfulness in knitting a present for him.
So she should dump him? Is that the
She should reassess her relationship. That may be the result, it may not be.
Whoa.
Very good. When one is overly picky with respect to the what she knits, he's going to be overly picky with respect to 1,000 other items in life.
Good point. Do you want to read the last question?
Sure.
Dear Savvy Dad, how did you get so savvy? A soon-to-be dad wants to know. Also, do you have any suggestions for names?
I became savvy because I belonged to a wonderful family of savvy girls, savvy mum, and savvy bro. We learn from life experiences and from each other. As for a suggestion for any names, it is difficult and cyclical. Some names are popular today because of a movie star. Some names are popular tomorrow because of an event which makes somebody newsworthy. Think of your child, not of yourself.
Just a savvy dad. He sure knows a lot. Does he ever? I'm confused.
All right, you gerbils. Are you all ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah. Let's sing it now.
Okay, Felix. Okay, Bevy.
Okay,
Perchik. Perchik. Perchik.
Oh, Hanukkah time is near. Time for toys and time for cheer. We've been good, but we can't last. Hurry, presents, hurry fast. Want a tube that loops.
That was very good, Felix.
Naturally.
Very good, Bevy.
I hate good.
Perchik, I'm afraid you were a little bit flat. Perchik, Perchik, a little bit flat. Perchik.
We can hardly stand the wait. Hanukkah, don't be late.
The Telltale Tile from Christie's Queer Christmas, 1904. Olive Thorne Miller. It begins with a bit of gossip of a neighbor who had come in to see Miss Bennet, and was telling her about a family who had lately moved into the place and were in serious trouble. "And they do say she'll have to go to the poorhouse," she ended. "To the poorhouse? How dreadful! And the children, too?" And Miss Bennet shuddered. "Yes, unless somebody'll adopt them. And that's not very likely. Well, I must go," the visitor went on, rising. "I wish I could do something for her, but with my house full of children, I've got use for every penny I can rake and scrape." "I'm sure I have, with only myself," said Miss Bennet as she closed the door. "I'm sure I have," she repeated to herself as she resumed her knitting. "It's as much as I can do to make ends meet, scrimping as I do, not to speak of laying up a cent for sickness and old age." "But the poor house," she said again. "I wish I could help her." And the needles flew in and out, faster than ever, as she turned this over in her mind. "I might give up something," she said at last, "though I don't know what, unless, she said slowly, thinking of her one luxury, "unless I give up my tea. and it don't seem as if I could do that. Some time the thought worked in her mind, and finally she resolved to make the sacrifice of her only indulgence for 6 months, and send the money to her suffering neighbor, Mrs. Stanley, though she had never seen her, and she had only heard she was in want. That evening, Mrs. Stanley was surprised by a small gift of money from a friend, as was said in the envelope containing it. "Who sent it?" she asked from the bed where she was lying. "Miss Bennet told me not to tell," said the boy, unconscious he had already told. The next day, Miss Bennet sat at the window knitting, as usual, for her constant contribution to the poor fund of the church was a certain number of stockings and mittens, when she saw a young girl coming up to the door of the cottage. "Who can that be?" she said to herself. "I never saw her before. Come in!" she called in answer to a knock. The girl entered and walked up to Miss Bennet. "Are you Miss Bennet?" she asked. "Yes," Miss Bennet said with an amused smile. "Well, I'm Hetty Stanley." Miss Bennet started, and her color grew a little bright. "I'm glad to see you, Hetty," she said. "Won't you sit down?" "Yes, if you please," said Hetty, taking a chair near her. "I came to tell you how much we love you, for—" "Oh, don't say any more," interrupted Miss Bennet. "Never mind that. Tell me about your mother and your baby brother." This was an interesting subject, and they talked earnestly about it. The time passed so quickly that before she knew it she had been in the house an hour. When she went away, Miss Bennet asked her to come again, a thing she had never been known to do before, for she was not fond of young people in general. That visit of Hetty's was the first of a long series. Almost every day she found her way to the lonely cottage, where a visitor rarely came, and a strange intimacy grew up between the old and the young. Hetty learned of her friend to knit, and many an hour they spent knitting, while Miss Bennet ransacked her memories for stories to tell. All this, Christmas was drawing near, and strange, unusual feelings began to stir in Miss Bennet's heart, though generally she did not think much about that happy time. She wanted to make Hetty a happy day. Money she had none, so she went into the garret where her useful treasures had been long hidden. From a chest she took a small box of light-colored wood with a transferred engraving on the cover. With a sigh, for the sight of it brought up old memories, Miss Bennet lifted the cover by its loop of ribbon, took out a package of old letters, and went downstairs with the box, taking also a few bits of bright silk from a bundle in the old chest. "I can fit it up for a workbox," she said, "and I'm sure Hetty will like it." For many days after this, Miss Bennet had her secret work, which she carefully hid when she saw Hetty coming. Slowly in this way she made a pretty needlebook, a tiny pincushion, and an emery bag like a big strawberry. Then, from her own scanty stock, she added needles, pins, thread, and her only pair of small scissors, scoured to the last extreme of brightness. The only thing she had to buy, a thimble, and she bought that for a penny, of brass so bright it was quite as handsome as gold. Very pretty the little box looked when full. In the bottom lay a quilted lining, which had always been there, and upon this the fittings she had made. Besides this, Miss Bennet knit a pair of mittens for each of Hetty's brothers and sisters. The happiest girl in town on Christmas morning was Hetty Stanley. To begin with, she had the delight of giving the mittens to the children, and when she ran over to tell Miss Bennet how pleased they were, she was surprised by the present of the odd little workbox and its pretty contents. Christmas was over all too soon, and New Year's, and it was about the middle of January that the time came which, all her life, Miss Bennet had dreaded, the time when she should be helpless. When Hetty came over one day and found her dear friend lying on the floor as if dead, she was dreadfully frightened, of course, but she ran after the neighbors and the doctor and bustled about the house as if she belonged to it. Miss Bennet was not dead. She had a slight stroke of paralysis, and though she was better soon and would be able to talk and probably knit and possibly get about the house, she would never be able to live alone and do everything for herself as she had done. So the doctor told the neighbors who came in to help, and so Hetty heard, as she listened eagerly for news. "Of course she can't live here any longer. She'll have to go to a hospital," said one woman. "Or the poorhouse, more likely," said another. "She'll hate that," said the first speaker. "I've heard her shudder over the poorhouse." "She shall never go there," declared Hetty with blazing eyes. "Hoity-toity, who's to prevent?" asked the second speaker, turning a look of disdain on Hetty. I am, was the fearless answer. I know all Miss Bennet's ways, and I can take care of her. And I will, went on Hetty indignantly, and turning suddenly, she was surprised to find Miss Bennet's eyes fixed on her with an eager, questioning look. There! She understands! She's better! Cried Hetty. Mightn't I stay and take care of you, dear Miss Bennet? She asked, running up to the bed. Yes, you may, interrupted the doctor, seeing the look in his patient's face. But you mustn't agitate her now. And now, my good woman, turning to the others, I think she can get along with her young friend here, whom I happen to know is a womanly young girl, and will be attentive and careful. The doctor gave directions to Hetty, what to do, telling her that she must not leave Miss Bennet, so she was now regularly installed as a nurse and housekeeper. Days and weeks rolled by. Miss Bennet was able to be up in her chair, to talk and knit, and to walk about the house, but was not able to be left alone. Hetty's mother was very willing to spare her, for she had many mouths to feed. To provide food for two out of what had been scrimping for one was a problem, but Miss Bennet ate very little, and she did not resume her tea, so they managed to get along and not really suffer. One day, Hetty sat by the fire with her precious box on her knee, which she was putting to rights for the 20th time. The box was empty, and her sharp young eyes noticed a little dust on the silk lining. "I think I'll take this out and dust it," she said to Miss Bennet. "If you don't mind." "Do as you like with it," answered Miss Bennet. "It is yours." So she carefully lifted the silk, which stuck a little. "Why, here's something under it," she said. "An old paper, and it has writing on it." "Bring it to me," said Miss Bennet. "Perhaps it's a letter I have forgotten." Hetty brought it. "Why, it's father's writing," said Miss Bennet, looking closely at the faded paper. "And what can it mean? I never saw it before. It says, Look and ye shall find." That's a Bible text. And what is under it? A word to the wise is sufficient." "I don't understand. He must have put it there himself, for I never took that lining out. I thought it was fastened." And she pondered over it long, and all day seemed absent-minded. After tea, when they sat before the kitchen fire, as they always did, with only the firelight flickering and dancing on the walls while they knitted, or told stories, or talked, she told Hetty about her father, that they had lived comfortably in this house, which he built, and that everyone supposed that he had plenty of money and would leave enough to take care of his only child, but that when he died suddenly nothing had been found, and nothing ever had been, from that day to this. "Part of the place I let to John Thompson, and that rent is all I have to live on. I don't know what makes me think of old times so tonight." "I know," said Hetty. "It's that paper, and I know what it reminds me of," she said suddenly, in a way very unusual to her. "It's that tile over there," and she jumped up and ran to the side of the fireplace and put her hand on the tile she meant. On each side of the fireplace was a row of tiles. They were Bible subjects, and Miss Bennet had often told Hetty the story of each one, and also the stories she used to make up about them when she was young. The one Hetty had her hand on now bore the picture of a woman standing before a closed door, and below her the words of the yellow bit of paper, "Look and ye shall find." "I always felt that there was something different about that one," said Hetty eagerly. "And you know you told me your father talked to you about it, about what to seek in the world when he was gone away, and other things." "Yes, so he did," said Miss Bennet thoughtfully. "Come to think of it, he said a great deal about it, in a meaning way. I don't understand it," she said, slowly turning it over in her mind. "I do," cried Hetty enthusiastically. "I believe you are to seek here. I believe it's loose," and she tried to shake it. It is loose," she cried excitedly. "Oh, Miss Bennet, may I take it out?" Miss Bennet had turned deadly pale. "Yes," she gasped, hardly knowing what she expected or dared to hope. A sudden push from Hetty's strong fingers, and the tile slipped out at one side and fell to the floor. Behind it was an opening into the brickwork. Hetty thrust in her hand. "There's something in there," she said in an odd tone. "A light," said Miss Bennet hoarsely. There was not a candle in the house, but Hetty seized a brand from the fire and held it up and looked in. "It looks like bags, tied up," she cried. "Oh, come here yourself." The old woman hobbled over and thrust her hand into the hole, bringing out what was once a bag, but which crumpled into pieces in her hands, and with, oh, wonder, a handful of gold pieces which fell with a jingle on the hearth and rolled every way. "My father's money! "Oh, Hetty," was all she could say, and she seized a chair to keep from falling, while Hetty was nearly wild and talked like a crazy person. "Oh, goody, goody, now you can have things to eat, and we can have a candle, and you won't have to go to the poorhouse." "No, indeed, you dear child," cried Miss Bennet, who had found her voice. "Thanks to you, I shall be comfortable now the rest of my days. If it had not been for your quickness, I should have died and never found it." The gold was taken out and counted, and proved to me more than enough to give Miss Bennet a comfortable income without touching the principal. It was put back, and the tile replaced, as the safest place to keep it till morning, when Miss Bennet intended to put it into a bank. But though they went to bed, there was not a wink of sleep for Miss Bennet, for planning what she would do. There were 1,000 things she wanted to do: to get clothes for Hetty, to brighten up the old house, to hire a girl to relieve Hetty so that the dear child should go to school, to train her into a noble woman. And all her old ambitions and wishes for herself sprang into life for Hetty, for not a thought of her future life was separated from Hetty. In a very short time, everything was changed in Miss Bennet's cottage. She had publicly adopted Hetty and announced her as her heir. A girl had been installed into the kitchen, and Hetty, in pretty new clothes, had begun school. Fresh paint inside and out, with many new comforts, made the old house charming and bright. But nothing could change the pleasant and happy relations between the two friends, and a more contented and cheerful household could not be found anywhere.
It's neat and it's sweet, it's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just sitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two, what's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn, and stitch three, drop four, pitch that knitting out the door right now.
Thank you for joining us for this special holiday episode of the Savvy Girls Podcast. We want to wish you a very happy holidays and all the best in the new year. If you'd like to reach us, you can contact us through our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can also find us on Ravelry. We have our Savvy Girls podcasting group. You can find me personally. I am Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. We are on Twitter as Savvy Girls Podcast. We're on Facebook, and
We're here. We're here. I'm home.
That's true, and I'm home. So, have a wonderful time with your family, with your days off of work if you have any, and we are looking forward to podcasting and having you join us in the new year. All the best.
And?
Tend to your knitting.
Kitten.
My cardigan would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.